This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
Welcome back, value investors. I've been getting some questions recently about value stocks and ETFs from people who don't really want to buy the individual stocks, but who obviously want to own a basket of the cheap stocks instead. And I covered ETFs on another podcast, ETFs that were outperforming biotechs, but I don't think anyone was really paying attention a couple months ago. And it's always good to repeat what is going on out there in the ETF world, because there are always new ETF products coming on the market, and it's good to check in. And I did discover that there are a couple new value ETFs out there since I did the last podcast. So today's show is going to cover some of the ones that were on the last podcast, because I do still think that those are interesting for value investors, and a couple of the new ones that have just come out that you might want to check out. So let's cover again why you might want to own some ETFs. So the first real reason is that they do allow you more diversification, and that diversification can lower your overall risk. As I've said before, it's pretty risky to own, say, like one small cap community bank, like say they're in West Virginia or Kentucky or Michigan or Wisconsin. And so you're beholden to whatever's going on with the management of just that one small little bank, versus an ETF of, say, 100 or 500 small cap community banks. And maybe you're buying them by the region, and you're getting much more diversification if you're owning the whole basket of them. So then if one of them decides, hey, we're giving out some loans to some oil companies, and whoops, they went under because oil prices plunged, it's not going to hurt you as badly as owning just that one bank that made that decision. So the first reason I would give is that they can give you more diversification and can lower risk. Of course, there is some risk inherent in ETFs as well, but it's less risky than just buying the one type of stock and just that one, like say, small cap stock. And then another reason you might want to own ETFs is because it can help control your investing emotions. It's not going to remove them completely out of the equation, but let's be frank, no one has really ever gotten excited about the S&P 500 ETF, or at least no one I ever know has ever gotten excited about that one. So with ETFs, you're kind of taking away that obsession with like the earnings reports and guidance revisions, you know, the CEO doing something like resigning, or what we're seeing now with Equifax. That has been removed out of your concerns because, again, the ETF owns the basket of companies. So you usually end up caring more about the sector or the industry and what's going on in the bigger market than you do with just the individual companies. And I'm not saying that some people don't get emotionally attached to certain ETFs, say like the Chinese Internet Stock ETF, which, yes, does exist. But it's not usually as extreme in the ways they are, like, say, with Alibaba and Jack Ma. Like, try going on Stock Twits and saying you don't like Alibaba, or it's doomed, or, you know, you think it's going down or whatever, and you may not survive the day over there if you bother to, you know, say anything negative about Alibaba. But I doubt anyone over there would really care if you said something negative about the Chinese internet stock ETF. So that's another reason to kind of, you know, dig around ETFs. They can also, a third reason is that they can be a good building block strategy for a portfolio, because it does give you access to a sector, an industry that you otherwise may not want to go into. So like the example with the banks, if you really think that the small community banks are the next hot thing, you can try. I'm not even sure there is a small community ETF. Actually, I'd have to look into that because I might be interested in that. But, you know, there is a way, I'm sure, to use an ETF to get access to, you know, financials. There's definitely financial ETFs out there. So that's a way to put something like that in your portfolio, like a building blocks type of strategy. And even on a bigger scale, just using the S&P 500 ETF or, you know, the small cap, mid cap ones can also do the same thing. So I own a small cap ETF. I mentioned it in my last podcast when I talked about these, and it is a small cap value ETF because historically those have outperformed the large cap as well as small cap growth. It's basically been the best performing area, small, mids, and large, even of the growth. It kind of goes against your instincts right now because growth is really outperforming value and has been for a while now. But historically, it has been small cap value. So I own one of those and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later in the show. So what value ETFs are out there? So let's get to that now. And I want to start off by just pointing out that finding those classic value stocks that we look for, as I've talked about on prior shows, using the old fundamentals that value investors like to use, like low PE, low price to book, and low price to sales, are somewhat hard to find. So many ETFs use only maybe one or two of those classic type of fundamentals, and then they tend to add in growth. So you have to look at that when you're trying to gauge on like which of these value ETFs you might want, because it might say value in the title of it. But when you dig down a little bit deeper, yes, you may still get some value, but you may find if you're looking for that classic type of value that some of these don't really qualify. But there are some that are trying to get that classic. And one of them is the Guggenheim funds. They have three ETFs on the value side that are called pure value ETFs. And they obviously have one for the smalls, the mids, and for the large caps. And the large cap ETF ticker is RPV. And all of them have expense ratios of 0.35. So it's a little bit higher than what you might normally find with some other ETFs because it's a little more actively managed. Now, the pure value comes in is that they are only looking for those basically with like the classic value fundamentals. So that's really going to limit their selection. So for this large cap fund that they have, they only have 107 holdings in it. They try to look around for about 100 shares. So this one only has 107 in there. And obviously the S&P 500 has 500 total. So they're determining that the real pure values are only 107 out of those 500. Year-to-date return on that one is just 4.7. And as you know, like when I'm recording this on the September 20th, the year-to-date return is about 12% for the S&P 500. So value is underperforming, as you can see, but you're getting a 4.7% return with that one. The small cap one is ticker RZV, and that one has 157 holdings, same expense ratio. Like I said, they all have the similar expense ratios. That PE for that one is 18.1. Oh, the PE for the large cap is 15.1. So a little bit pricier for the small caps, but year to date, it's down 9%. And the small cap overall S&P 600 is up. It's in the green. So you're really underperforming there. It was down 17% just a couple of weeks ago. And I think that has to do with the fact that consumer cyclicals are its highest concentration there with 26%, and then finance with 13%. So the cyclicals, I'm thinking there's a lot of retail in there and those restaurant names and maybe some of those that aren't doing too well right now. So it's really getting hammered with just 157 holdings. So that's something to keep in mind with these pure values. They say, Guggenheim says, that these are a little riskier than what you might find with some of the other types of strategies because they're only looking for those that are really basically probably down on their luck and pretty beaten up, because that's the classic definition of a value stock. And they're getting those ones with single digit PEs. Also probably means something not so great is happening with the stock there, at least right now. So those are a couple of the pure plays to keep in mind. Now we can contrast that with Some of the others that have lower expense ratios, ones you might be more familiar with, like the Spider S&P 600 Small Cap Value, that ticker is SLVY. The expense ratio with that one is just 0.15. And as of September 18th, they had 440 holdings in there. Now, remember, that's S&P 600, 440 of them are value, is what they're saying. The PE for that one, the forward P is 18.6, trailing is 21 times, but forward is 18.6. And if you contrast that with that, their small cap growth ETF of the opposite, that one has 353 stocks. So obviously, there's some that are in the small growth ETF that are also in small cap value with this one. So that's something you definitely should keep in mind. And that similar pattern continues with some of the other just general small cap values. I'm kind of emphasizing small caps because I do like those. And I know a lot of people are interested in those. But all of these fund companies have the small, mids, and large caps. So you can go and get similar based on the cap size. But the Vanguard Small Cap Value ETF is the one I own. The ticker is VBR. The expense ratio is just 0.07%, so less than 0.1. This is among the cheapest of the ETFs as far as expenses, but it has 842 stocks. 30% of those were financials as of the end of August. So clearly, they're buying a lot of the small banks. I like the small banks, so I'm okay with that. But this is another example of you better know what you own and you better dig down deep. And 842 stocks is a lot of stocks. So this one is basically going to move as the small caps move. Small caps have been struggling. So this one kind of has been too, but it's up 4.2% year to date. The PE is 16.2, which isn't too bad. That's under the S&P 500 and has an average market cap of $3.6 billion. Now let's move on to a couple of the new ones that are out there, because I know some of these are kind of interesting too. But again, don't be fooled by the name of value, because they each have a little bit different strategies. So one of the ones that I discovered this time around is this First Trust Large Cap Value AlphaDex Fund, FTA. Now, the AlphaDex is an enhanced index, which was created by the NASDAQ. And I had to print out like all the rules about what it does, because it's kind of complicated, but it goes through and it ranks the stocks on the NASDAQ US 500 large cap index on growth factors. And it looks at 3, 6, and 12 month price appreciation, sales to price, and 1 year sales growth. And then it does it separately on the value factors, including book value to price, cash flow to price, and return on assets. And then they're all ranked for the various factors. And then they are kind of put in an order. And then it says each stock receives either its growth or value score as its selection score based on its style designation as determined by the NASDAQ. And then the top 187 stocks based on these selection scores are what comprise the selected stocks. And those are like ranked again, and then they're equally weighted within each quintile. The index is then rebalanced and reconstituted quarterly. So with this one, it's quarterly. That's a good thing to keep in mind, actually. So the expense ratios, because they're doing all of this, are actually a lot higher. Right now, it's 0.6%. They say that they're capped at 0.7%. But that 0.6 you might only get till November 30th of 2017, actually, they said. The PE on this one, and the ticker is FTA again, but the PE is 15.1. It has a price to sales of 0.97, and then the price to book ratio with this one is 1.87. So those are all pretty good classic value parameters there. Minimum market cap is $4.6 billion, because this is the large cap fund. And consumer discretionary, which I'm assuming, again, is a lot of retail, is almost 20%. And then financials are almost another 20%. Now, this one is up year-to-date 8.1%. So still trailing the S&P 500, but not quite as badly. They do have a small cap one as well. That ticker is FYI. Expense ratio on that one is 0.7%. The market cap on that, the median, is $1.3 billion. So pretty small. I do like that, that it actually is small caps. Has 262 holdings, and its PE is 15.2, price to book at 1.4, and price to sales at just 0.58. So that too is a classic type of value look, similar to the pure funds. This one's rebalanced quarterly as well, and you're getting 26% consumer discretionary, but industrials, surprisingly, at almost 26%, and then financials at about 14%. Now, year-to-date, this one's down 2%, and I have a feeling that there's probably some retailers in that 26% consumer discretionary, and those are getting hammered right now. So it's a little harder, small-cap retail, it's not a good place to be right now. And then one more type of one that could be intriguing to value investors are the PowerShares S&P 500 Value with Momentum. So, you know, I like that. And I've done total podcasts before that were just value stocks with momentum or some of the values hitting 52-week highs. So this is an interesting one you might want to take a look at. And it is based on the S&P 500 High Momentum Value Index. And this is 200 stocks with the highest value scores within that. And then they take the 100 with the highest positive momentum scores. And so this one holds 99 stocks, a little bit riskier because it's fewer stocks. It's rebalanced semi-annually, and that is in the third Friday in June. So they just did it a couple months ago. And then the third Friday in December. This one only just came to being in April of 2017. So it's a new one. Its expense ratio a little bit higher because of all the stuff they have to do at 0.3%. Now, this is where you really have to dig down. So they took value stocks with the momentum. So what do you think that's going to be right now, or at least in June when they rebalanced it? And yeah, you might have guessed it. It was financials, almost 50%, 49.3% are financials because those banks are cheap and then they started moving higher again. And then you have industrials at 11%. And then interestingly, energy, because there's absolutely no momentum, or it's momentum to the downside, at least it was as of June, that's just 1.3% of this. So you might think, oh, energy's cheap right now, but for a fund like this, with no positive momentum, you're really not going to be in it. So that's also something to keep in mind with this fund, is that you are getting kind of the trendy stocks, but then you're stuck in them for 6 months because they're only rebalancing semi-annually. So if that trend changes, might not be that great for you. But this one year to date up 4.5%. And the ticker on that one is SPVM. There's also an enhanced value portfolio that PowerShares puts out. And that one is those with the highest value scores. So this one holds 93 stocks. That's also pretty light on the stocks, but this is the, you know, they're looking for classic value. So this has a PE of 13 and a price to book of 1.4. Expenses are 0.25 on this one, so a little bit higher again because it's more actively managed. Financials on this one, 41.7%. And because this is S&P 500, you're going to get basically the large banks, because I took a look at those holdings, and the largest holding is Walmart, almost 5%. And then you have Citibank, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo's in the top 10, GM, Ford, CVS, Allergan are in the top 10 on this one. So if that's what you're looking for, large banks, then this one, you know, maybe you should keep an eye on. This one's up 7.4% year to date. And again, the S&P 500 is up almost 12%. So none of these are doing as well as the overall index. And the small caps are doing even worse. But for us value investors, this is a buying opportunity because it is so out of favor. And if you like buying those kind of bottom down on their luck stocks, but you don't want to take a chance on just like one or two here or there, then some of these value funds are maybe something to look into and the way to go for a lot of investors. Like I said, I own the Vanguard one, but now that I've reviewed all of these again, I'm kind of eyeing like one or two of them again for my own portfolio, because I do think they're a good way to play the comeback in value, which will happen. Mark my words, of course, it will happen eventually. So let's recap those tickers, if I can find them all here, because there were a lot. So we had the Guggenheim funds. The large cap one is RPV. The small cap pure value is RZV. Then we had the spider small cap value. That was SLVY. Then we had the Vanguard small cap value, VBR. Those first trusts are the large cap AlphaDex fund, FTA, the small cap FYT, and then the power shares, the value with momentum, SPVM, and then just the enhanced, let me get that one, where is it? SPVU. So again, like I said, definitely do your own research into these because you might be surprised at what you might find that they're actually invested in. And you might be surprised at some of the expense ratios on some of these. Some are lower cost than others. And as we know, the expenses end up adding up over time if you're going to own these for multiple years or possibly even decades. So be sure to look into all of that. And as always, you can listen to all of our old podcasts on both SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. We have our own page over there on Apple now on iTunes, and you can subscribe over there if all you want to get is the Value Investor Podcast. And you can also subscribe on SoundCloud so you don't miss a single episode. So for everyone here, I'll see you again next week.